Well, hello, runners. Welcome to the I Run Things podcast, the podcast for the everyday runner in search for that extra bit of motivation to get out there. My name is Susie, and I am your host. Today, we are talking to Denise. Denise is also known as the Marathon Whisperer, and she is back to the I Run Things podcast. She was our guest on episode 29 when she came to talk about her experience running the Everest Marathon in 2019. This time, she comes back to talk about Comrades Marathon. Denise is a very accomplished ultra runner, triathlete, and running coach, and she's also the author of the book Me, You, and 26.2. If you entered the giveaway of her book during the Everest episode and weren't lucky enough to get one of the two copies that we raffled, you will have an opportunity to get one this time around. For details on how to enter, stay tuned till the end of the episode. Also, please consider reviewing the show in your favorite podcast app. That helps other runners find the show, as it really pleases the gods of the internet algorithm. And of course, it also pleases me because that way I know I am doing something right. I'd like to also remind you that we can be found on social media under the name I Run Things on YouTube and Facebook, and under the name Real I Run Things on Twitter and Instagram, because the other name I Run Things was taken and I am the real one. I do hope we get to know each other better that way, so don't be afraid to drop me a message in one of those four platforms. I answer each and every one of the messages I get. And now, without further ado, let's listen to Denise's interview. Hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm great, Susie. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the show again.
Thanks for having me. I didn't wear out my welcome yet.
I loved having you the first time when you talked about your Everest Marathon, and we left it right there when you were flying. Instead of going back home from Nepal, you made your way to run Comrades, which is just amazing.
So it's kind of a long story in that, you know, I read about Comrades in Runner's World a long time ago, and it had always been on my bucket list. And so in 2018, I turned 50. So Comrades was one of my birthday presents to myself. So back in 2018, I did the down version, because one year it's uphill and then the following year it will be downhill. And so I did the downhill in 2018, and I didn't even know if I would finish. I didn't know there were cutoffs. I actually sat next to this gentleman on the plane on the way to Durban, and he was telling me that when you do the uphill and the downhill back to back, there's a separate unique medal. So it's the back to back medal, and that's the only time you get an extra medal, unless of course you placed in your age group or something. So 2019, I was going to the Everest Marathon, right? And then Comrades was like 4 days later. And I was like, okay, I already know I can do the downhill of Comrades. And when's the chance I'm gonna be able to close the deal on a back-to-back? So all the more challenging, why don't I do Everest? And since I'm somewhat almost there, I'll go to Comrades, because I'm all about like challenging myself. And so I did Everest, and every one of my fellow runners and hikers, they went home, right, respectively. And I was like so excited to do it. And then during the race, I'm like, I don't know if this was a good idea, but Comrades, it's like in a league of its own, and there's just so, it's the oldest ultra marathon in the world. And there's just so much history and prestige. I have children with it that it's an honor to even run it, because it's similar. It's like Boston, you know, again, so much honor and or so much history and prestige to even be at the start line. And comrades, I didn't know until 2018. So I didn't know you had to qualify. So I think you need under 5 hours, it may be like 450. And then
in what distance?
In a marathon. And then there's also like a qualifying time for a 50K if you do a 50K instead of a marathon to qualify. Okay. But we only have 12 hours to finish, and it's clock time, not chip time. So you're lined off based on your qualifying time. So I think I was in D corral and it went all the way to H. So the people in H, like, you lose a lot of time.
Right, just waiting.
I think it took me like 6 or 7 minutes to get across the start. And yeah, there's like, I have chills. It's the start is just so exciting. I did a video. It's on my YouTube channel. I don't know.
I've seen it.
There's also a book that you can buy that's all about the history on comrades, but you can't find it anywhere online. Like, I think you can only get it in South Africa, because my friend who did it with me in 2019, she did all this homework, read the book, and I can't find it. So at the start, they play like Chariots of Fire, and then they play the national anthem. And of course, they also play this other song called Shoshaloza. And I have chills. It's so cool. And then I thought it was a rooster that crowed at the start, and it's actually a recording of this guy who used to, I thought someone tickled a rooster. Where the crow came from. And then my friend Maria's like, Denise, you have to read this book. No, it's actually this guy who used to crow like a rooster at the start, and they recorded it. But it's, yeah, the start is unlike any other. And
so how many people run the marathon?
Oh geez, I think
only, is it thousands?
Like maybe 15,000 is,
oh wow, that's a lot of people.
And at least 95% are South Africans. There's hardly any Americans that do it.
Another thing I noticed in your video, and I think I actually made a comment under, you know, the video from the start, is that there's hardly any women. Like, yeah. In the whole video, it's just you. And then there's guys all around.
I mean, that there's hardly any, like almost everyone's South African. And yes, there's hardly any women that run it too. And then you, the first year I did it on your bib, it had a little flag for what country you were from. And then it also had the number of comrades you finished. And when you finish 10 comrades, doesn't have to be success or each year in a row, 10 in a row. But if you've completed 10, you get a green bib, and then that's always going to be your number every time you run it. So I'm running along and I'll see someone with like 40 comrade finishes, or I see, like, if I saw someone who was a zero like me, I was like, oh, don't do what they're doing, because they know as little as I do. But if I saw someone with a lot of completions, I was like, okay, this is someone to follow after, and then like even ask questions. And the crowd, I mean, there's so much crowd support. And I mean, plus you're running in South Africa. I want to go back again.
So it's an ultra. So it's 50K.
It's different because the down version is from Pietermaritzburg to Durban. And then the up is Durban to Pietermaritzburg. The down, I think, was 56 miles, and the up was 52 miles.
Oh, so they're different completely. This is so interesting.
Yeah. And then also, so the down is really cool because you finish in the stadium. And so you run into the stadium, and the other thing is, like, it's like the Super Bowl for them. Like, it's broadcast all day, 12 hours. And so you finish running into the stadium, and I don't remember if you want a Jumbotron, but it's so cool. And so I didn't know this because I rarely read race websites. I'm guilty. Like, even this Saturday, I should have read about this 2 mile climb of a hill. So for comrades, all I knew is it was a 12-hour cutoff, right? And that at 12 hours on the dot, like a human chain goes across the finish line so no one else can pass. And people literally like die to make it. I have chills. And then of course they like highlight the last finisher and some, yeah. And so I didn't know until I was running it the first year, there were signs on the course that said, whatever time you have to get to make it, to get the cutoff. I think there were 4 or 5 cutoffs. I'm really bad. And I'm running and I'm like, what are these cutoffs? I only knew about the big one. And so the other thing that I just feel like if I research so much, I'm going to have all these expectations, I'm going to stress. And so that's why I'm like, okay, am I free that date? Is it open? Is there a qualifying time? And that's about it. So I did not know about the sub cutoffs, but I did in 2019, I paid attention. I knew what those were. The other thing is they have pacers, but they're called bus drivers. So I think they're every 15 minute increment. So yes, you have 12 hours. So I think I started with the 11:30 bus. And the thing is with the bus, everyone's trying to get in front of the bus by the driver, because that's who they highlight a lot on TV, are the buses and the front of the bus with the driver. So I stayed along with the 11:30 bus for a while. But it was kind of bad because our driver, I'm all over the place. Normally in our races, you know, here in the US, it shows, you know, how many miles you've completed. At Comrades, it's kilometers left. Like, how discouraging is that? Like 43 kilometers to go, 42 kilometers. So this bus driver, I didn't ride with him the following year. But he said, you guys are doing great. We only have a marathon to go. I'm like, who says that? Like, that is not inspiring. I was like, so I stayed with him for a while. And then I, you know, nothing new on race day, right? So this is still the 2018 version or edition of Denise's Comrades. So I also found out about this company, local company that, has tents on the course, like 3 tents where you can have a drop bag. And I actually went through marathon tours for both the up and the down. And so I found out about this tour company. I wish I could remember their name. So I had 3 drop bags made for 2018. And I just had like peanut butter and jelly sandwich, Snickers, and then I did, for some reason, the night before, when I'm figuring out what to put in, I put in a Red Bull in each one. And so I think the first one I stopped at and I had a sandwich, and then the second one I skipped, and then the third one, because I was so nervous, I honestly didn't know if I was going to finish. And then that third drop bag stop, I had a Red Bull, and I've never had a Red Bull. And so the downhill, just a heads up, it's not all downhill. It's up, down. And I feel like, I think it was maybe the last 10 miles were truly downhill and not as much up. So it was right before the like grateful, not too many ups, a lot of downs, is right before that I had that Red Bull. And I was passing people left and right. People thought I like cheated. The spectators thought I cheated and got on the course like some of them. And I ended up writing, like, I posted on Red Bull's Instagram, like, I have wings, it worked. I couldn't believe it, and I never done that. I had never done
wings. Have you used Red Bull in another race?
I did, and it didn't work out, because that's a different, that was a 100-miler, and I'm like, it worked at Comrades, and no, I had to work, because I had, like, at the 50-mile, I had a huge Starbucks, and then at 75, I had a Red Bull that was bad. So I took the Red Bull, and then, I was like, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So I knew, I don't remember what point, but I'm like, I'm going to make the cutoff. Cause I also was afraid, you know, like when you do a race and you pick up your pace too soon, like, yeah, I didn't know if that was happening, but I got to a point where I knew I was going to finish. And I was like, oh, I have to come back for that back-to-back medal.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool. So what do you see when you're running through the course? Is there like back-to-back people, like spectators, or do you go through nature?
It was, I mean, it was really crowded. It was really dense. Probably, well, especially if you're by a bus, it was so dangerous because again, everyone's trying to get up front. And then when you're in the middle or in the back of the bus, everyone's on top of each other, like any pace group. I think I'm trying to think where it really broke up. Geez, at least maybe halfway through. I can't remember.
Wow.
And here's a little secret I learned. The good thing about the bus drivers though, is they know the course and they'll tell you like, okay, here, cause I would speed walk the hills and they're say, okay, we're gonna walk this. Okay, and now we got some flats, so we're gonna run. So they gave you great guidance, but I didn't like, you only have a marathon left. And the other thing I didn't know, the first edition, I'm running and I put my music on and these ladies tapped me and they're like, you're gonna get disqualified, you can't listen to music. And you know how race websites say that, like no music allowed. And I was like, I didn't come all this way to just get disqualified. So I had to entertain myself. So a lot of the locals are in a running group and they wear a singlet for their running group. And then on the course, also you'll see charities, you know, like local races here in the States, you'll see like charity teams on the side cheering you on. And then the running clubs, and they play crazy music. And the other thing is the aid stations, they don't have cups of water or electrolytes. They have like these plastic containers or these plastic things with the water or the electrolyte drink in it. So you grab them, and they had plenty of aid stations. You grab them and you're like trying to cut it with your teeth and then sip it and not get it all over yourself. So by the end of my first round, the 2018 version, I had it figured out how to do it. Oh my gosh. And then it's so funny. They'll have people holding like containers of salt, and literally you put your hand out and they pour salt in it. You just like the salt in the
salt. It's a great idea. Well, it's a great idea. If your hands are clean, it's a great idea. If your hands are dirty. It's the worst idea ever because you're leaking the germs in your hand.
Yeah. Well, at least it's only your germs. So.
Yeah, but you don't know what you, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm always concerned. Like, you know how when you're running a race, your hands are like sweaty and.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always feel like you grab water, you grab other stuff. It's like, I don't know. Like, it's weird to leak your hand in the middle of a race. But in theory, it's a great concept because then they just put it in your hand and yeah.
They had plenty of aid stations, but they had like, some of them had salty potatoes, but every time you, even before you hit the aid stations, you could hear them and people are dancing and
it's
so much energy. And again, it's like, well, it makes the course, cause it's so tough. It makes Boston feel like a 5K.
So which one is, because you did Everest and you know how to compare it, which one is harder? Is Everest harder than Comrades? Or?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because Everest was very technical, the course.
Okay.
That's where I wore my hiking boots and used my hiking poles. And it took me 12 hours and 15 minutes to do a marathon. And then Comrades, I think I was like, 10:45 on the down and 11:15 on the up. And
which
so I'm doing a survey. Okay, what's the up like? The up is way easier. It was not easier at all because there was, and then they said, oh, there's five big hills. And every time we hit a hill, I'm like, is this the last hill? Yeah. And then we hit another one. I'm like, oh, the other cool thing I forgot to mention is that at the expo, they have a dedicated booth for any non-locals. And then they also have one for first time. So we have lots of like people there to calm your nerves. And that was really cool. And then of course they have a booth with all the Comrades merchandise. And I even bought more the second time. Depending on what time you finish, there's a different, like everyone gets the medal, and I sent you a picture of what it looks like. It's maybe as big as a quarter.
It's tiny. It's like, what's with the medal? Like, yeah. It's tiny.
And so people were saying, this is when I went there in 2018 for the first time, and people were saying, oh, if you get this time, you get it. Because I had two friends that were doing it, and they're super fast. And they finished in an amazing time. And they're like, oh, I'm shooting for the gold medal or the silver medal. And so I finish under 11 hours. So I think that meant a bronze medal. So once you finish and your bib shows that you're not a local, there's people escorting you and you go into this separate area. And so this person escorts me to the area and I said, and where do I get my bronze medal? Because I thought it was an addition. I don't read websites. So the medal I got was already bronze, but I didn't know because again, I don't read websites.
She was probably like, no, there's nothing else.
It's he or she, I don't remember. It's on the desk.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
But also, so the down version, again, we start in Pietermaritzburg and then finish in Durban, and you finish in this stadium. And so on the up, we start in Durban and then we go to Pietermaritzburg and you finish on like this horse track. I think that's the horse racetrack. And so when I finished in the stadium, I just went to the hospitality area, whatever. So after I finished in Pietermaritzburg, I got my stuff and got a little food and then went to watch people finish in the last like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. And you just so want to like push them along. It was so disheartening because again, if you finish at 12:01, you don't get a medal and you're not official.
Oh, that's so.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people that just because you finished, you could finish 20 times and not finish the 21st. Like, it's so hard. You don't know if you're going to finish. Like, even experienced Comrades runners. Yeah.
Did you, after you finished Everest and then you went to Comrades, were you still sore from Everest?
I was.
Or were you like 100%? Well, no, you can't be 100% in such a short period of time. But were you recovered from Everest? Or?
I thought I would have been. I don't know if that's why the up was so hard for me. But I'm like, hey, I had 3 weeks of altitude training. I'm going to fly at Comrades. I didn't really. I went slower on the up than I did the down. But that's why I think the down was easier because, again, the up is up, 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 up. Never ending hills. The down has that last section that had a lot of just you're flying. But also with Everest, I wasn't running it. And, you know, it was 10 days of hiking from Lukla to base camp. And then, you know, going from base camp to Namche, it was a hike. So I may have been tired from the travel. Maybe that was it. But it's not like, you know, it's not like I just raced a marathon and then like 4 days later did a 56 miler trying to race it.
Right. The muscles involved are different, but it's still, you know, a lot of exercise and wear and tear and just your body, like being depleted from like all the carbohydrates. I mean, it's a long, just walk, you know, like just hiking fast.
Yeah.
It's just, that's a lot of wear and tear on your body.
Yeah, because in Everest, near like the last few days, like you don't even have an appetite and you got to force yourself to eat. And we all lost weight. I'm not like by choice, it's just you lose your appetite. I didn't think that would happen. But I think it also like, I also think the travel like beat me up too. And literally like I, so again, I stayed with Marathon Tours when I did the trip. And the first 2018, I stayed at their hotel that was right on the beach. And then the expo was actually next to the Hilton. So the following year I stayed at the Hilton. And once I got into Durban, I only went to the expo and hung out in my hotel. Like I had no energy. I just slept. And I also want to mention like 2018, one awesome thing that I like staying at the beach hotel because I could run on the beach every morning. And then the Hilton was kind of too far. Not too far, but people would say it's not that safe by yourself to run from the Hilton to, so that was, so I was a little cautious about that. But the first year with Marathon Tours, I've never done a course tour. Cause I, again, I'm like, you know, then I'll be overthinking. And I did with Comrades that first year, because I really, I kind of wanted a little preview of coming attractions, and I recommend it because I mean, you're not going to remember everything, because I'm always like, why do I need to sit on a bus? I need to feel it in my quads. That's not going to help. But it was just so cool. They took us to the Comrades Museum. And I mean, you'll see like some of the stuff they like, they would cut the toe box out of their shoes. That's what they would run in. And then, you know, to see just see the history of it, like when the first women ran it. And yeah. So the museum was really cool, and they also had a mini expo there for locals to go there instead of into Durban, or for people that were closer here in Emmitsburg, or to where the museum is. And then, so then on the course, you also go past, I think it's called the Wall of Honor, and that is so cool. I should send you a picture of that. But the start of it, there's like a plaque with the winner's name for that year, and I don't know if it shows their time. And so, and then like you can actually buy your own plaque, like it's, so it's all the winners, and then all the way down is people that like bought their plaque. And again, if you've run Comrades 10 or more times, your plaque would be green. So yeah, you can be on the wall. I think it's the Wall of Honor. So it was so cool to run past that. And
Just giving me the chills right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of charities that you can run for. And if you do, the charity runners are in a closer corral. So let's say you're in the H with your qualifying time, you can run for a charity. And I think they're an E. So you get a little more.
You get a couple extra minutes, which could matter, you know? I mean, if that's all you have at the end, you want the 2 minutes. How long did it take you to get from Everest to Comrades, to Durham? Is it like there's no direct flight, right?
Oh, no. So I think I did Cape Town to Johannesburg to Durban. Yeah. In my mind, I'm like, oh, I'll be at Everest. I'm almost at Durban. I should just go there to do Comrades. Yeah, it was still a long way.
The first time you did Comrades, how did you train for it? Like, have you run any other long distance trail before Comrades?
Yeah, so that was 2018. So I had done, I maybe have done 2018, I was probably at like 90 marathons by then. And then June of 2018, I was probably at 90 marathons, including a handful of 50Ks and 50 milers and 100 miler, but I had never done a hilly course like that before. That's why I didn't know if I was going to finish. And my infamous term, skited, scared and excited. I was definitely skited because I didn't know if I was going to make the cutoff, because all I knew was 12 hours in a human chain. Like, that's all I knew. And I didn't know the course, and the two girls that, two of my friends that went, that they did it too. They studied the course, because there's also, I think it's Coach Perry. He's like the official coach for Comrades, and he has all these podcasts and webinars and so much information. And like the girls that my roommate that Marathon Tours matched me up with, like she knew all three of the ladies knew the hills, the names of the hills, and they knew the deadline, the cutoffs. And yeah, I mean, even I did a race on Saturday and I skimmed the website and I thought I had 11 and a half hour cutoff. And it was a 50 miler, and it was crazy hilly trail, not as technical as Everest, but literally I'm asking runners, do you know what the 50 mile cutoff is? Like, who does that during a race? Oh, well, you'd think I'd learned my lesson, because I was like, I didn't do it at Comrades. I didn't do it at the Big Five Marathon. I didn't do it at, what did I just run? Dowell 50 miler frenzy. Yeah.
That's crazy. You mentioned you can actually have bags at some of the stations. How is that process?
Oh, what's
do you
great.
Stop to eat your food, or do you people just grab the whatever and keep running?
Oh, so the company that I used, and I still wish I could remember the name, but there's also a Facebook group for international runners that do Comrades, and they post on there, that company. And the great thing is they're in the Hilton. So you have like the whole weekend, and they'll send you in emails, keep you up to date, but they're in the lobby of the Hilton, and one day you pick up your drawstring bags, and then they'll tell you when the cutoff is to drop them off. And so again, you'll see their tent on the three tents on the course. And as you approach, they see your number and grab your bag. Plus they have other stuff for you. I remember, I think they had hydration and some nutrition. Yeah. And so again, like I use the first one and the third one. And then I think last year when I went for 2019, I think I may have used all of them. I don't remember, but it's so funny. I met this guy, 2018, the night before, I'm at the grocery store, and I met this guy, from Brazil, and we both were deer in headlight, like in our faces. And it was both our first time. And, we're both like, yeah, I'm just doing it once. If I can get through it once. And then, I see him at the airport, you know, after the day after the race. And I was 2018, I was walking like Frankenstein. And so was he. And I said, that was so cool. I got to come back. He's like, no way. I'm only, and then like, I don't know, a couple weeks later, we're messaging on Instagram. He's like, I have to come back. And so 2019, we both got our back-to-back medal. And I didn't see him the whole weekend until the hospitality area at the finish. And I said, oh my God, the up was way worse than the down. He said the same thing. I said, well, I got my back to back. I don't need to come back. And he said the same thing. And then fast forward like a week or two later on Instagram, oh, I got to do that again. I know, it's so awesome.
So how do you recover from something as hard as Comrades? How do you do anything? Normally
I'll do an ice bath. Like I'll stand in Lake Michigan, or when I had Big Five, the hotel by the finish had a pool, but it was freezing and I stood in that, but I didn't have that. I mean, I could have done an ice bath in the tub at my hotel, but I don't do those kind. I'm crazy. I do like a lake or a pool. I use this product called Tailwind Rebuild, and it's carbohydrate and protein. You just add it to water and it's like miracle powder.
Oh wow, because I have it at home.
You know, when we're running, we create these mini micro tears in our muscles, and then afterwards, plus we've depleted our glycogen. So that's what this powder does, and other companies have the same thing, and they say, oh, take chocolate milk because it's four parts carb, one part protein. It's yummy, but I didn't find it effective. But this powder I use has the same ratio. And so we create those micro tears, and then like your muscles, like this is 40,000 foot level, but your muscles are searching for protein replenishment, right? And when they don't get them, that's when we get that delayed onset muscle soreness. So that's why it's like miracle powder for me. And I didn't take it Saturday night because I finished at like 9:30 at night. And I just wanted to get home, but that's what I normally take. And then of course it replenishes the glycogen.
When did you run again? Did you like, because you run a lot. You're like really extremely, I mean, you're in great shape, but.
Well, you know, I recommend the ice bath and the glycogen or the protein and carbohydrate replacement. And then to jog a little the next day, because otherwise your muscles are gonna get tighter and tighter. But I flew home the next day, both times I did it, which I don't recommend, but that's just how it works. So the more we move around, the less our muscles, so it lowers the probability that our muscles will get tighter. I'm sure I ran a day or two later when I got back to Chicago, and I got a deep tissue massage.
And you got what? Say that again?
A deep tissue massage. So I swear by massages too for, prevention and recovery, like injury prevention and recovery. And then 2018, I had a vest, and I don't normally wear a vest, but I just thought of BioFreeze. And I'm like, you know, why would I put it on at the finish? Like, why don't I use it preventatively? So every time probably every 3 or 4 miles, I'm climbing in a climbing section because I'm going slower. Like I didn't want to stop because I'm under the gun. I want to finish. I had BioFreeze like easy access in my vest. I had the little packet and I would put them all over my legs. And I think that helped too. And I didn't realize 2019 when I did it at their aid station, they have volunteers with their own version of a BioFreeze. And just putting up and down your legs. So every time I saw one, I was like, thank you so much. Because I feel like it helped.
And that's awesome.
Like, why put it on after your muscles hurt? Like, why not put it on preventatively?
Right.
Even in marathons, Chicago Marathon, New York Marathon, they have folks on the course BioFreezing you up.
I've seen that. I didn't see it at Marine Corps, but I've seen it at Philadelphia Marathon. I think it was like a mile 18 or 19. And then a little bit ahead, they were with the rollers. So if you wanted to get
hurt. Oh, yeah.
People were stopping to get rolled.
Oh, especially if you cramp up, I bet that would help. But proceed with caution.
Yeah. So what recommendations would you give to people who want to run, comrades?
Yeah, so get you have a like once you send in a qualifying time, you can improve your qualifying time. Like there's still like a couple months, like there's still a window that you can improve your qualifying time. But next year it might be really hard to get into because it's the 100th anniversary.
Oh wow, okay.
Actually, this year would have been the 100th anniversary. So I guess it'll be the 101st, like 101 years since the first one, but everyone wants to do it. Yeah. So it's gotten more and more popular, but I do know that like, even if you get in through marathon tours, you still have to qualify. So I recommend run the fastest flat marathon you can or ultra. And then in your training, do lots of hills. And again, like I speed walk the hills and run the flats because speed walking the hills, I used to run the hills, like especially at Boston. And then I found it was the same pace as me trying to run them and it burns my quads out. So now I speed walk them. Like even 2019 comrades, my friend Kevin, he was doing his first one. And I ran into him, I don't know, like mile 24 or something. And I lost him and he's like, I can't believe how fast you walk the hills, Denise. I'm like, you got to walk with a purpose. Like you walk the hills, like you got to pee and you can't find the bathroom, right? You don't walk them like you're going to get a root canal.
Right. And I think when you're walking, your form changes. So you are impacting other muscles.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're trying to run, you know, your form is different. So.
Yeah. And again, you're like burning your legs out when, like, I look at me run my pace running a hill and speed walking, and it's the same thing.
Right. So why are you going to burn? Yeah.
Yeah.
Your muscles doing that.
Yeah. But definitely, you know, get a qualifying time on a fast, flat course. And then do the hills.
And so it's only 450 in a marathon? That's actually quite surprising that it's only, I could qualify for a conference.
I thought it was 5 hours for 2018. And then I think it may have changed to 450. I'm not sure.
Conference marathon, I'm actually Googling this, qualifying time. Yeah, it's 4 hours 50.
Yeah, they changed it then. And so in your training, like of course do hills, but also I would do a 50K. I would do at least one 50K in a 50 miler to practice, if not two 50Ks in a 50 miler. Plus it will give you confidence.
Right.
Having a 50 miler under your tool belt.
Do you ever, when you're running, do you use mantras for yourself? Because I know some people are big on like, dig deeper.
I have to dig deep. Rarely do I do a race where I'm just totally in the zone. So when I hit my wall, I kind of remind myself, like, you know, this is why not everybody does this. This is what separates us from the people that don't hit submit. And that, you know, this pain is going to go away. This will pass. And I'll tell myself, fight, fly. Like, that's one of my mantras. And then a lot of times, I'll do the gratitude alphabet where I name people and experiences from my life that I'm grateful for each letter of the alphabet. And I can have more than one. And I say in the why, like why I'm grateful. And if I get stuck on a letter, I start all over. If I forget someone, I start all over. So it just, I feel like I'm not a neuroscientist, but I feel like our brain can't be in a state of angst and gratitude. So it really helps the miles go by. And it also makes you a little more present.
Right. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I have a friend who counts people. Like when she starts struggling in any race, she starts counting people she passes. So doing the math in her brain distracts her, so she may pass someone, so it's like one, and then if someone passes her, it's zero.
Oh yeah.
So she keeps like resetting the numbers.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then when she gets to the end, she says, okay, 25 or whatever, you know, or minus whatever, like, yeah.
I do that in my triathlons because I am definitely afraid of open water. I'm not a confident swimmer, so I'm one of the last people out of the water, and then I'm faster running alongside my bike than on it. So when I start my run, I start counting all the people I've passed because I've been so humiliated those first two legs. And they're like, whoa. I was like, you should have seen me in the swim and the bike.
But so
anything
awesome.
You have to do to go forward. And then I always remember, you know, I don't see that sign at every race, but I just remember the spectator sign that there will come a day when you cannot run, and today is not that day. And so what, such a gift, like when it hurts, it's like, just remember, this could be taken away.
Right. Important lesson to learn too. Yeah. Denise, it was great having you back, and you're giving away another book.
Yes.
So very exciting. And you were very generous because when we did the Everest Marathon episode, you said you were going to give away one book and you gave away two. Yeah. So, yeah.
I just like to share my Deniseisms and energy.
Yeah. I'll put the Amazon link to your book as well below so people can go buy it. I know that the two people who won the book, they emailed me already saying that they were super happy to get it and that it was an amazing book. Yeah. So they were very appreciative. Which one is your, like, if someone could do just one, which one would you recommend, Comrades or Everest?
Oh, Everest.
Oh, that's your, so that's your like.
Well, yeah. because I mean, Comrades is like Boston, like it's so hard to get into, and then there's so much history and you're so celebrated on the course and you're a part of this tradition, and it's super challenging. Like just getting in isn't enough. You gotta hit the cutoff. But Everest was just the most beautiful place I've been. Like I said, I've run on all seven continents and I've never broke down in tears from the magnitude of the beauty. Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know if I told you I'm going back next year for the ultra.
You told me that. And now that you're doing the ultra, you're going to have to come back.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, should I go do Comrades again? Because it's going to be like the 100th running or the 100th anniversary or the 101st anniversary. I haven't said no yet.
So next year, when you do the ultra in Everest, you have to come back and do a full report.
Okay.
The whole story.
I might be the first American to do both.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Stay tuned.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And I have
what an accomplishment.
I have three friends that are doing it for the first time. So I'm excited for them.
Very cool.
I'm an Everest whisperer too.
Very nice.
It's a magical place. A magical on the inside for sure.
There's so much stuff to do, so little time and so little money.
Right.
Not enough money.
Oh, we need sponsors, right?
Yes. Here, if someone wants to sponsor us. Very cool. Thank you so much, Denise.
You're welcome. And again, I can't wait till I can see you at real races and meet you in person.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully, you know, 2021 is our year.
Yes, hopefully. Okay, you take care, girl.
You too. Thanks, Denise. Bye. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, so I really do hope that you enjoy this interview with Denise. And I am going to give you the details for the book giveaway. So for episode 29, for the Everest Marathon episode, we asked you what song did they all sing at the finish line when they all finished Everest Marathon? And the answer to that was, We Are the Champions. So we had a couple people that actually sang the song in the message they sent. One of those people won the raffle, the giveaway. The other person just sent a message writing down the song they sang was We Are the Champions. So this time around, the question is, what song is played at the beginning of Comrades Marathon? What song is played at the beginning of Comrades Marathon? There's two songs. One of them is the national anthem of South Africa. There's another song, and that's the answer to the question. Now, you can sing it, you can hum it, you can just write the title of the song and send it to me, to my Instagram handle. You can PM me through that. My Instagram handle is Real I Run Things. Once again, send it to me by Instagram. And the Instagram handle is Real I Run Things. The link will be also in the show notes. So all you have to do is just click on it and send me your answer. Don't forget to follow us on our other social media platforms. And as always, I hope you come back for more episodes. Hence, run fearless.